God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our Gospel reading from John chapter 1. First of all, as I'm not expecting an answer to this question, at least not out loud, but how old are you? Typically, if we're asked that question, we usually don't have to think too long. I mean, age is something that's very, very important to us. We may not remember our own birthday, but we probably remember within a year or two how old we are right now. And very often, what happens when we get to that anniversary, so to speak, of our birth? Do we celebrate it like we did when we were very little? Or has that celebration sort of wandered off a little bit because we know that we are getting 1 year older? Birthdays, as we get older, sometimes just are not as cherished as they once were when we were younger. The reason why I'm sort of bringing up this concept of birthdays is very often people start associating this day as the birthday for Jesus. It was interesting, I even read in the paper this last week that there was a mom who was a little upset about the school sort of taking Christmas out of the school setting and decided to bake a cake that said Happy Birthday Jesus on it. And they even sang Happy Birthday to Jesus in light of the school's policy where you would only have Happy Holidays. She said all the kids in the class, of course, enjoyed the cake and no one complained. Which is good, but it started me thinking, have we started a new custom in the church that we think of this day as Jesus' birthday? Well, if we start associating Jesus' birthday with our own birthday, we start getting ourselves into a little bit of trouble. Because way back, say 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, was that truly his birth, so to speak? Well, what does our text say from John chapter 1? John chapter 1, beginning with the first verse, alludes to the fact that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus isn't some 2,000-year-old person. Jesus really never had a birth date. He was there, he is part of God. He was there with God in the beginning, and as the first part of John chapter 1 states, all things were made through him. Nothing was made that has been made. Plain and simple, Jesus did not have a birth date the way that we think of birthdays. Then what took place about 2,000 years ago? One of the ways we like to describe it is God taking on flesh and blood. Why is this important? Well, first of all, we got to remember God wasn't created 2,000 years ago. God's eternal. Never had a beginning, never will have an ending. And as finite people with a beginning and one of these days with an ending, we have a hard time understanding the concept of what infinite means. But just because we have a hard time understanding it doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't occur. Jesus is eternal. So on that first day born in Bethlehem, maybe a better way of saying it is God takes on flesh and blood. Verse 14 of our text, the Word, referring to God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's the phrase we hang on to for what takes place on that first Christmas day. Now, I will admit I'm not going to get too upset when churches and Sunday schools sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. It is a special time to remember that, yes, God does take on flesh and blood. But let's not take this happy birthday concept too far, or we will go astray. Because we have to focus on the eternalness of God. Why? Because living in our world like it is today, we get sidetracked so quickly. Our focus is on so many temporal things. For the kids going back to school, or at least in our child care program, next week when I run into them, you know what's going to be on their mind? What did I get for Christmas? Maybe a better question is, what did you get last year for Christmas? Do you even remember? Is it even still working? Did it break? Did it fall apart? We live in a world that we are so consumed with temporal things. Our mind is so concerned with what I'm enjoying here and now that when we talk about a Savior taking on flesh and blood and dwelling among us, and this is an eternal Savior, we very often lose sight of what it means to be eternal. We're used to things requiring batteries, things that have warranties on it, things that will fall apart, be broken, or shattered. Not so with God. God is eternal. Why did this eternal God of ours have to take on flesh and blood? Again, we lose sight of this, that we are the ones that are broken. Maybe that's why we have such an affinity and attraction to things that are temporal, things that do fall apart, because we ourselves are temporal. We ourselves are falling apart. As your age keeps on increasing, guess what? We start finding out that the body indeed does fall apart. We find ourselves spending more time going to doctors and hospitals and having tests and procedures done. Our age starts creeping in. And because of our attachment to the things eternal, again, we may lose sight of what it means when God takes on flesh and blood. That baby in Bethlehem, what does it all mean? Yes, we know that we are broken. Sometimes we see our brokenness more evident than other days. But we have to remember, God takes on flesh and blood to restore us, to take those of us who are temporal and make us eternal. That is the joy we have this day. But you may be saying, Pastor, I don't always feel that joy. That joy of knowing that I'm saved through the love of an eternal Savior who takes on flesh and blood. That joy in knowing that I will be with Him in eternal life. And I have to ask, if you don't have that joy that He brings into this world, why is it? Is it because your life is focused on the temporal, here and now, instead of the eternal that God brings? Maybe the reason why our lives aren't measuring up to our own expectations is because we forget that we are temporal. We are broken. Needless to say, our expectations also likewise are broken. But God doesn't want to leave us in that broken state. He wants to restore us to that, you could say, eternal state that He Himself is in. Yes, God created us. We'll never be eternal without a beginning. But notice with Adam and Eve, God intended them to live forever. Not to be falling apart. Not to be put back together again by doctors and nurses and hospitals and tests and procedures. But to live with God in eternity. So God takes on flesh and blood. He lives the life that we should have led, but yet He dies in doing so upon the cross. Because we can never be perfect. We always fall short of God's glory. Notice in our text for today, verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world does not recognize Him. That also fits us. Even though we claim that we are Christians, and we have that saving faith for those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the temporal factors of ourselves, however, our sinful nature kicks in. And we don't even recognize what it means to have an eternal Savior. What does it mean to have an eternal Savior? To realize that the things around us, whether it be the snow, the frustrations of life, or what attracts us to the things of this world, are just here today and gone tomorrow, as Scripture reminds us. But it is His love for each and every one of you that surpasses all things. His love goes beyond the Energizer batteries. His love goes beyond any warranty. His love goes beyond any gift that we could possibly exchange during this time. His love, like Him, is eternal. You can't buy that. It is given. And it was given to each and every one of us in our whole world when God takes on flesh and blood. The joy of this day is the fact that we have an eternal Savior. a Savior who is there to restore His creation. Yes, we need that restoration. We need that eternalness. And so how do we receive this eternalness? First of all, we go back to what verse 14 reminds us. The Word became flesh. Throughout John chapter 1, the emphasis on the Word is a connection to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God is also eternal. Not referring to our physical book, but the Word that comes out of that physical book called the Bible. There's also another way we get reconnected with the eternal. And that is when He offers His own body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine. We are reconnected to the eternal to receive His love, to be restored, to have the joy that He came to bring. All this may be beyond our understanding. And that's why God's Word just basically says, here it is. This is what God has done for you. Again, our sinful nature kicks in and says, I like the things that break. I like the things that are shiny. I like the things that fall apart. I like the things that only provide joy for a little bit. Do I really need the eternal? The answer is yes. We need the eternal. Because if our trust is only in the things that break, things that fall apart, things that need warranties, our trust is in vain. As he says in verse 11, He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now that God takes on flesh and blood, now that we believe and trust in Him, we are that children of God. We are destined to live with Him in eternity, even though we weren't eternal. We were born. How old are you? In one essence, age is irrelevant. What really matters is, do you have the eternal within you? Do you trust in His glory instead of what you can acquire by your own purchases or by gifts? Let us receive the gift that is eternal, that doesn't need batteries. It doesn't need a warranty. It is there forever and ever. The gift of love that no one can take away because it was not created. The gift of love that takes on our human flesh and blood and lives among us so that we could live with Him in heaven above. In His name, amen.